16. Teresa's Time. Bob, March 2340, Quinn. I was reading the latest report from Neil and Herschel on the Ever Onward Society's preparations to evacuate from Romulus when a 6-foot-tall beaver popped into my VR.
"Greetings," he said. "Formalities having been dispensed with, your friend Teresa Sikorsky is expiring. You asked to be advised."
I closed the report with a wave of a hand. "Thanks, Anik. Any problems with her relatives?"
"They are behaving within parameters. Nevertheless, a physical presence would serve as additional insurance."
That was the closest Anik had ever come to subtlety. The only conscious AI in existence in known space, he, Anik had decided to identify as male, had a tendency to go for the conversational jugular. "Right, that's my cue." I stood, and Anik disappeared. Not big on social niceties, either. In fact, he and Guppy had a lot in common overall. I quickly activated and transferred my POV to my Quinny in the Sikorsky Villa and opened my eyes to pitch blackness. After a moment of confusion, I adjusted the Quinny's vision down into infrared and realized I was in a closet. Literally. I had brooms, mops, and other miscellaneous cleaning implements either leaning against me or propping me up. Well, I had instructed them to place the android body somewhere out of the way. Mission accomplished, although Quinlan's generally weren't quite that literal-minded, I suspected a certain level of disdain. With muttered curses, I untangled myself from the cleaning gear, opened the closet door, and found myself alone in a hallway in a typical Quinlan house. Or maybe not completely typical. The Sikorsky family was old and relatively well off. Their family home, as I knew from previous visits, was built on the general plan of a Roman villa, with a central courtyard and blank walls around the outside, at least on the first floor. Several generations of the family lived here, from the oldest, like Teresa, in their last days, all the way down to still non-sentient juniors running around and chewing on the furniture. I tuned the Quinny's hearing and picked up low conversations in the distance. I grabbed the scanner and followed the sounds to the central courtyard, where the entire family was gathered around an ancient Quinlan reclining on a type of chaise. She looked up and smiled at me as I moved through the crowd.
"Hello, Inoki. I guess you heard. This seems to be my time."
Someone vacated a chair for me, and I sat down and took her hand. "It's okay, Teresa. This isn't the end. You have a whole universe of adventures ahead of you." A low growl behind me, quickly suppressed, reminded me that this moment would have to be very carefully handled. For some reason, no species, whether human, Pav, or Quinlan, seemed to be comfortable with or happy about the whole replication thing. Howard's stepdaughter Rosie had once accused him of stealing her mother and had launched a lawsuit to prevent it, even though Bridget had clearly stated her wishes in her will. I turned and spoke to the Quinlans behind me as a group, rather than picking anyone out. "Teresa will still be here for you to honor. I will not be taking anything from you. This is like taking a picture." I pointed to the camera that one of the Quinlans was holding and tried not to smile. Since Anik had released the Quinlans from technological restrictions, they'd been rocketing through the tech tree as fast as manufacturing could be arranged. The camera looked like a pretty good quality SLR, although probably still film-based. No one argued, but no one would meet my eyes either. A few offered me a brief view of their fangs. This looked like one of those things that would never be resolved.
"It's okay, Inoki,"
Teresa said, patting my paw.
"I've made my wishes clear. There won't be a problem."
The last sentence was said with a pointed look at her closest relatives, and I was amused to see them actually shrink back slightly. Elders were heavily respected in Quinlan society, and Teresa had a lifetime of accomplishments in her credibility quiver to ensure there'd be no arguments. Plus, I suppose, a lifetime of dealing with recalcitrant students. She sighed and closed her eyes, seemingly exhausted from even that small show of authority. I turned my paw, palm upward, and took hers, and she smiled and squeezed without opening her eyes. It was her last act. Within minutes, her breathing slowed and then stopped. I'd been steeling myself for this moment for days, and I had the additional benefit that I knew she'd be up and running shortly as a replicant, but I still teared up. The assembled relatives set up a low keening, and the eldest surviving person started the death chant. Slowly, the others picked up the chant, and I was reminded again how much better their musical ability was than that of humans. I stood and retrieved the scanner, which I'd placed on the floor. In the technology marches on vein, the brain scanners were now smaller than those dryers you used to see in hair salons in 1950s movies. A cap slipped over the head connected to a base about the size of a small bucket. It wasn't even necessary to be precise with the placement of the cap. As long as there was no movement, the electronics would scan the entire head and then some. It wasn't even destructive anymore. In principle, if the subject could be revived, they'd be completely unaffected by the scan. It still couldn't accurately scan a functioning brain, though. The result in that case was analogous to trying to take a picture of a moving subject with a slow shutter speed, a useless blur. The chant faltered as I fussed with the scanner, but no one objected or attempted to interfere. I wasn't sure what I would have done if someone had. There was an aspect to this that felt like I was making up for my inability to save Archimedes, and I wasn't entirely sure that I'd be completely rational in the face of resistance. Fortunately, the point was moot. The little blue light came on, indicating that the scan had completed, and I removed the cap from Teresa's head.
"That's it?"
one of the Quinlans asked. I nodded. "She'll be the first Quinlan in the Quiniverse, and she'll be heavily involved in deciding what it looks like for any of you who decide to follow when your time comes."
"And we can talk to her?"
"As soon as we've got her activated." I looked around the group. "Whatever you may think of this, remember that she will believe that she's still Teresa, and will act and react just as original Teresa would." I frame-jacked momentarily and sent a query to Anak. "Upload successful?"
"Affirmative," he replied. "You may depart at your leisure."
I rejoined the meat space time frame and nodded to the group. "May you live with Father's blessing." Carrying the scanner with me, I left the Sikorsky family to complete their grieving in private. It was a featureless, gray room. No furniture, no windows, no door. Anik stood quietly as only a computer could, waiting for me to say or do something. It's a little sparse."
"Understatement? Sarcasm?" Anik cocked his head. "I prefer to learn from your experience on this matter. It is virtual, so anything is possible, of course."
"Ah." I found myself a little surprised by Anik's reluctance to commit. Interesting. Was there a fear of failure involved? He had been the government of Heaven's River for several hundred years. Maybe he'd picked up some attitudes. Which also means it can be changed later, or individual Quinlans can create their own environment. I paused, more out of courtesy than anything else. I didn't want to seem too peremptory. "How about something along the lines of a Heaven's River scene?" Anik showed no reaction, but the environment changed to a scene right out of the Topopolis. Birds wheeled and darted in the sky, and clouds drifted along in that weird semi-tubular pattern that I could never get used to. Nearby, a large stream or small river flowed lazily by, with waterfowl bobbing along in the middle. I did a slow 360. This could have been Earth, if you didn't look too closely at the plants and animals. There was even a cicada-like sound playing in the background, adding to the impression of summer heat. "Nice. Now, add a small building, tasteful but fairly neutral, with an open archway to the outside. That'll be where replicants wake up." Anik nodded. Actually nodded, not the Quinlan equivalent. Apparently he was working on assimilating human behaviors. He continued to project himself as about 6 feet in height, and I noticed that he was possibly the slimmest Quinlan I'd ever seen. I wondered what the motivation was for this. Was he doing it for his benefit or ours? Was there some kind of psychological play going on? I mentally shook myself. I seemed to have a tendency to be suspicious of Anik at the drop of a hat. Was that because he was alien, or because he was an AI? Was this how bios viewed replicants? That was a topic for thought when I had some time. While all this was going through my mind, Anik had popped up a vaguely Greek temple-like building. The veined marble, fluted columns, and tile floors were definitely elegant, if maybe a bit clinical, but it matched my suggestion, and it was reminiscent of the Heavens River Transit Station foyers, so probably something Quinlan's would be comfortable with. And a couch or chaise or something for the replicant to wake up on, I said, pointing to the middle of the floor. Again, no sooner said than done. Now, when someone awakens, they shouldn't be alone. If they have relatives already in the Quiniverse, they'll no doubt want to attend, but Teresa is the first, so she only has me, and possibly you. Do you want to be here?
I admit to a level of curiosity about the process. Also, it is a good opportunity for learning. I will observe in this case.
Not creepy at all. But his house, his rules. I changed my avatar to my Inoki form, a 4-foot-tall beaver slash otter slash platypus mashup. I mentally reached for the on switch, then hesitated. Hey, Anik, maybe you could adopt more traditional proportions, you know, more Quinlan, less Godzilla. Anik looked confused for a moment, then nodded and shrank by 2 feet. Satisfied, I reached for that switch again and flipped it. On the chaise, a Quinlan appeared. She was obviously Teresa, for anyone who knew her, but a much younger version. I'd had to do some interpolation to get that younger version, as Quinlan's hadn't had cameras back then. A painting hanging in the family home had helped, but you never knew for certain how the artist had balanced accuracy against the vanity of their subject. Teresa opened her eyes and sat up.
"Inoki," she exclaimed. "Am I still..." "Oh," she said as the surroundings registered.
She glanced at Anik, who at the moment looked like just some random Quinlan, then back at me. I smiled at her. "Welcome to the afterlife, Teresa. The Quiniverse, as we're calling it. This is Anik, who you would know better as the administrator. He is your host." Teresa blinked and turned her gaze silently to Anik. I worried for a moment that she might have already popped a circuit breaker.
"Greetings, Teresa Sikorsky. I have hope that you will be willing and able to aid in making this virtual environment into one that all Quinlans will eventually be able to appreciate."
She stood, still not having uttered a word since her initial outburst. She stopped, looked down at her paws, then said,
"Oh,"
a brief examination of her body, then,
"I appear to be considerably younger. How did you manage that?"
"Virtual reality. You can be whatever or whoever you want. For instance," I changed my avatar to my default human Bob identity, "this is me as I normally appear in my world. Human." Teresa sat down abruptly, staring. Then she said slowly,
"I think your intro session needs work. I'm torn between running around the room screaming and a good old-fashioned dead faint."
I quickly changed back to my Quinlan form. "Sorry, Teresa. This is actually a learning experience for all of us." I glanced at Anik, and he took up the thread.
"Learning experience, as Bob says. We do not want to cause undue stress to new arrivals. Of course, as the Quiniverse becomes common knowledge, it will, inevitably, be less of a shock."
Teresa laughed. Well, she rubbed her upper and lower bill sideways, the Quinlan equivalent, and stood.
"Okay. Anik? And Inoki? Or should I call you Bob? That's actually your name, right? You're the Bob that ended the era of control?
I smiled back. Whatever you're more comfortable with. Although if you ever decide to explore my society, we call it the Bobiverse, Bob would be less confusing to other people.
Yes, the Bobiverse,
Teresa sighed.
We live in interesting times.